Turn, if you will, in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to hear together verses 1 through 11. 1 Corinthians 12, 1 through 11. Let's hear together the word of the Lord. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols wherever you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of God, says Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are various ministries, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. But to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another is the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, and to another the effecting of miracles, and to another prophecy, and to another distinguishing of spirits, and to another various kinds of tongues, and to another interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all things, distributing to each one individually just as he wills. Let's pray together. Father, this morning we just want to thank you for your word. I thank you that you've brought us to this place of looking at this, that we might better understand the equipment that you give us and the way that you equip us for the Christian life, to love and to serve one another and to love and to serve the world. This morning we ask that you would teach us in those things, that we might grow, as your servant Paul says, into the fullness of the head, which is Jesus Christ. And that's what we pray this morning, is Lord, if we could just be together a little bit more like him, to learn to walk in your ways, to learn to walk in holiness. This morning we look to you to be our help, and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. What's the most important piece in forming any kind of group? It could be a company or an organization. It could be a sports team. Why, it could be an army. It could be just about anything. But what is that ingredient that's needed in order for a group to come together and gel and know what they're about? It's training, isn't it? That's one of the most important ingredients. Without it, you don't know what you're doing or why you're doing it. You must be trained. You must be equipped if you're going to carry out a task together. Well, think of the best boss or the best coach you've ever seen. And there's something that the best bosses and the best coaches have in common. And that's this, that they are equippers. They are able to communicate and give skills. They're equippers. They know how to teach so that you can learn. The other thing is they are encouragers. We use this word a lot, but we don't ever think about what it means, I don't think. It's literally to put courage into. They're emboldeners. They not only tell you what to do and how you can do it, but they also let you know that you can do it. That you have a purpose that you're called for, and that when you step out, you will be able to. They are encouragers. Part of the work of the Holy Spirit is to give to God's people, to distribute throughout the body of the local church and throughout the world, to give the gifts needed for equipping and encouraging the church. let's look at this, because you remember that the Spirit is a promised gift. If you remember back in John 14, verse 16, we saw Jesus telling his disciples that he would give them the Spirit, and that he would be, sorry, it's a little bit further, 14, 16, and that he would be with you always. He will be with you forever. And so as long as there's a church age, there's also the work of the Holy Spirit going on. We saw in Acts chapter 2 how when Peter got up to preach, he made reference to Joel. And Joel's prophecy was that there was coming a day in which God's Spirit would not be an occasional thing, an occasional occurrence that's going to land only on the prophets, but that all of God's people would begin to really prophesy, dream dreams, do all these different things, declare the word of the Lord. And so there is this promise, and if you look at the next piece of that promise, the next thing that happens is the end. And so we see, really, Scripture is pretty clear that as long as there is the continuation of the church, there is the continued work of the Spirit, because we have to be equipped. We have to be encouraged. We need to be strengthened to do the work of the Lord. One more text. It's a disputed one, but it's in Mark chapter 16. And there Jesus gives a list of signs that follow those who believe. And we're not going to go through the list right now, but I just want you to think about that Jesus doesn't say simply, these signs will follow you as you preach. These are actually those signs that are going to follow those who believe the preaching of the apostles. So we have to think then that there is this continued work of the Holy Spirit. What are these things? What are these gifts? Let's take a look in verse 3. We'll begin to unpack some of this. Sorry, we're back in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting in verse 3. Paul begins by saying that these gifts are for proclaiming Jesus as Lord. In other words, the emboldened proclamation of God's word is powered by his Spirit. And you've got to think that really what Paul is saying was kind of the radical separating from the world that the early Christians knew and lived. Because to declare Jesus as Lord is to say that Caesar is not. And so no one can say this life-separating and perhaps even life-ending statement unless they're empowered by the Spirit. We say it so easily now, but there was a price at that time to say Jesus is Lord. But I wonder, in this time when the price tag is set so low to be able to say it, do we still publicly confess that Jesus is Lord? Most of us here today will not go to the chopping block for that. But do we still do that? Do we still proclaim Jesus is Lord? I hope that we do, wherever it is that we go. So the first thing we see is that it is God's word that is spoken, and God's truth is demonstrated by the Spirit of God. Then verse 4, Paul says that there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. The next thing that we see here is that these things are gifts. In other words, we're talking to something that's given by God. And they're called charismata, which means graces, which means something that comes only from God. So what we're not talking about here is not our natural abilities, talents, inclinations. Those are wonderful things, and please use them to the glory of God. But what we're talking about here is those things that kick in when all of your resources have ended. It's something that only God can do. That's what we're talking about here. We're not talking about things that you practice or you cultivate. We're talking about the way that God works in and through his people, into the lives of each other. So let's look at some. There's a list here, but before we get to the list, I want us to see what are some of the characteristics and uses of spiritual gifts. First of all, verse 7, we see they are used for the common good. In other words, God's Spirit at work builds unity, it strengthens the church, it encourages believers in their faith. It's to the common good. It doesn't lift up the one who is being used by the Spirit. It doesn't lift up the one that is undergoing some change or receiving some kind of word. It is for the common good. It's for everyone involved. It's God's way of strengthening us together. And then verse 11, it says that the same Spirit works all these things, distributing individually just as he wills. In other words, we're talking about things that we have no control over. We're talking about things that God does. So I can't tell you what gifts I have. I can't make a list. I need to rely on God to make that evident. I can't summon up something. It's not this, you know, thinking really hard to get. No, it's God at work. We're going to see more about that. But in verse 11 through 26, we see Paul saying that we all shared in one baptism. We've received one Holy Spirit. We are now one body. We are essential parts growing together as a whole. And that's the ultimate picture here, is that as God distributes gifts, as he makes use of us in a variety of ways, and that's one of the things that we saw first, is that these things are varied, and we have three lists of them in the New Testament. I don't think that those are necessarily everything. I mean, if you look back at Exodus, when God called Moses to build the tabernacle, it's interesting that the craftsman that God called said that he has a unique gift of the Spirit to do this work. Is there a gift of craftsmanship? I suspect possibly yes. I suspect yes, that God can empower people beyond their natural abilities to undertake the work of the Lord. So let's take a look then at these lists of gifts. Take a look in verses 8 through 10 is the first one that we've got. We're going to look at the verbs that Paul uses because they're really particular here. Paul says in verse 8, for one is given. Who's the giver? God. God is the giver. One is given, and then there's this list. The word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, faith, gifts of healings, works of power, prophecy, discerning of spirits, tongues, and interpretation of tongues. Let's talk about these a little bit, because there's some controversy here, and I don't think it's good for me to stand here and pretend that there isn't. But let's at least take a look and see what some of these things might be and how they might apply today. And some of the problem is this, that in this list there are words that occur only here in the New Testament. And so, quite frankly, we can't say exactly what they are. But I think we can get some idea just from the context and just looking at the ministry of the early church. So let's take a look at some of them. The word of wisdom, one of the things you need to know is that wisdom, particularly in the Old Testament, is always practical. Wisdom is about how you walk in the light of God's law. What is the right way to walk? And so the gift of wisdom, I think we can safely say, is at the very least divine guidance in how to walk in holiness. Divine guidance in how to walk in holiness. And this usually comes from an application of God's word. And so you're going through a tough time and you don't know how to best handle a situation at work, and you're talking with your brother and sister, and your brother says, wait, there's a verse or two that apply to this. And you open your Bible together and you begin to look at it and you see, oh, now I see what I've got to do in order to behave rightly in the situation. And God has used that brother or sister by bringing that word to mind to help you. And it's the Spirit of God at work in your midst. Word of knowledge. I have here My best guess, if you will, is that it is practical application of the what of a situation. And so this, in this case, it's more not just what you need to do, but something that's going on into the background. It is insight into the nature of a situation. Sometimes God gives this to you. You've overlooked a detail in a disagreement, and your brother and sister, as you're talking and praying with them, your brother or sister says to you, "Oh yeah, but one of the things that you failed to remember is what's gone on in the background. What happened to this person you were arguing with when they were a child?" And that really explains their behavior, and you go, "Oh, that's what I did. I stepped on their toes because of that." It's unique, divinely guided insight into a situation. Gifts of faith, an increased level of trust in God's care. You know, we were talking about this. Susan, can I give this example of the story you told me about your friend? Susan says that she went and visited a friend whose house burned down. And she was expecting to go and to comfort this friend. And this friend said, you know, she said, "How are you doing?" This friend said, "I'm blessed." We never have the grace to go through something like that until we're going through it. And that is the gift of faith. A renewed and deepened ability to trust in God's goodness that can only come when we face that situation. Gift of faith. Gifts of healings. At times, we pray for healing all the time, and sometimes God heals. We'll talk about that in a little bit too. Works of power are clear evidences to answers to prayer. Prophecy. Proclaiming God's word with conviction to bring correction to God's people. Discerning of spirits. Insight into the spirit realm or spiritual activity. Able to see what's going on in the background. And sometimes God will do that also. Tongues includes tongues of men, and those are what we see in Acts chapter 2 as that crowd pours out of the upper room, and they're giving God's praise in languages that they didn't know. And you've heard stories like this of missionaries, haven't you? I've heard a few different ones of missionaries who go to a place to witness. They encounter a language they've never heard, and somehow they're able to express the gospel. There's also, Paul mentions, tongues of angels. And these might be the same thing as those groanings we saw in Romans 8. These praying beyond words, crying out to God from the very depths of our soul. An interpretation of tongues, being able to understand what the speaker is saying. So all these things are gifts that are given. And it sounds to me like all of these things are momentary things that happen. They're not something that you live with continually. They're things that God gives you at the moment when you need them in order to do what it is that he wants to accomplish. But also, in verse 12, we see something very different. 28, we see something very different. And there it says that God has appointed in the churches first apostles, second prophets, third, teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healings, then helps, then administrations, then various kinds of tongues. And so these are people appointed to a particular task that's ongoing. And we know of the apostles with a capital A, and that gift is gone. That the apostles are the apostles. They are the ones who were sent by Jesus personally. But I think we can say that we also have apostles with a small a at times. They are people who have a particular burden for a particular place where the gospel has not been preached, and they can't get it. It's a burning desire to go and to share with those in that place. It's an unshakable sense that they're called to this particular tribe, particular city where the gospel has not gone. And they have this very personal sense of being sent. And we know people and love people just like that, don't we? Prophets are people who continually call God's church to holiness, righteousness, and they challenge and they correct. And you know preachers like that. You know people, and you know someone who has that gift when they stand up and operate in it, that your heart's pierced to the very core of your being as they share God's word. It's a very particular manner. It's a very particular calling. But there are also folks like me and Rick who are teachers. That's something that really God has called us to, and it's not something that we ever thought we could do. It's not a natural ability. It's something in Spike. We've got several here. Evelyn, we have gifted teachers here in this place. Hannah, all over the place we have gifted teachers. But it's that place where we've stepped beyond our natural ability, trusting in God to work through us. Miracles, those who pray and persist in prayer. Healings, those who have a passion and burden for praying for the sick or emotionally broken. Helps, those who tend to the needs of the sick, the poor, the traveler, the prisoner. And we have people here who have that passion burning in them. Administrations, those who help to organize the work of God. And kinds of tongues, those who pray or intercede even beyond their understanding. So we have this list. We have a shorter one also, and you can look those up. That last list is in Ephesians 4, 11 through 12. Those are people who are, and Paul says, gifts to the church, rather than talking about giving gifts to the people. These are people who are called to ministry in a unique role. They are apostles, prophets, they're evangelists, they are pastors, they are teachers. There are people for whom this is not only a giftedness, but it's a thing into which they're continually growing and a thing to which they're lifelong committed to. You might be able to think, like we said, of someone who has a specific call to a specific place, an apostle with a small a. You might be able to think of people who have the gift of edifying, encouraging, or comforting. You might be able to think of people that you know who have this gift to teach in such a way that it touches both the mind and the heart. But you think, do I know anyone with the gift of miracles? But you know, there are people that you go to time and time again and ask, please pray for this situation. And you know that that person will faithfully pray. There are people in this room that you go to, that I go to, when I have a situation that needs prayer. And I know that when I go to that person, that they will pray, and they will pray until God answers. So sometimes we think of these gifts in the context of flash, in the context of things that are high profile, or glitzy, or on TV. I want us to look a little bit at Jesus. In Mark chapter 8, starting in verse 11, we see Jesus healing a blind man. And what Jesus does, the text says that Jesus took him aside, apart from the crowd. And then that Jesus spit on the ground and took some of this mud and put it on the man's eyes. And then first gradually and then completely, the man was healed. The man was able to see. This is the stuff that we're talking about, in a way. We're talking about hidden, behind the scenes, muddy, low profile miracles. Here's the reality of the situation, is that if you are a Christian, this has been going on in your life. This is happening It's not something, oh, when is it going to happen for me? Time and time again, God has used you in the lives of others by just a simple word that you said, by just a simple word of encouragement. You have no idea what God was doing with it, but he changed someone's life with it. And time and time again, you've prayed for people that you would never see again. You didn't know the answer to that prayer. Sometimes God has woken you up in the middle of the night to pray for someone, and you've gotten on your knees and sought him in prayer, and you didn't know what the outcome was. You know, when Vicki and I were about to be married, I had to get my every 6 month TB test for the homeless shelter where I worked. And this time it came up positive. And so the nurse gave me a thing saying I needed to go to the big medical clinic to have it looked at. So I went home and showed Vicki the paper, and she's like, oh no, this is great. We're about to get married, and my about-to-be husband has got tuberculosis. Ah. And so we went to the doctor, and the doctor said, well, we need to make sure we're going to give you another one. And so I got that one, and it was a Wednesday. And that night I went to church, a little Baptist church, and told everyone what was going on. And they surrounded me and prayed for me. And a few days later, I looked at my arm, and it didn't come up. It was negative. Now, I went to the doctor, and I showed it to him, and he said, oh, it must have been a false positive. I said, does that happen often? He said, no, it doesn't happen often. I said, can I give you another possibility? You see, I had a group of people pray for me in Jesus' name. I believe that God healed me that night. He said, as a doctor, as a medical professional, I can't say that that happened, but it does look mighty interesting to me. And he left it there. You know, I'm going to guess if we went back to that church that most of those folks would never remember the night they prayed for me. I'll tell you what, I'll never forget it. I'll never forget it. And in the same way, God works through you. You, because God's Spirit is working in you, you are more than the sum of your parts. Because God is at work in and through you, there is infinitely more to you than meets the eye. That's what God is doing. That's what spiritual gifts are all about. When our resources are gone, when our abilities can't be of help, that God steps in and does more, abundantly more, Paul says in Ephesians, than we could ask or think. I have much more to tell you, but let me just give you these thoughts. Will you be open to the variety of ways that God desires to work in and through you? Will you pray that God will use you beyond the scope of your abilities? That's, I think, how Rick felt when I asked him to teach. And God has blessed so powerfully. I think that's how I feel every day when I come up to preach. I say, Lord, I'm in over my head. And God does it anyhow. Oh, will you speak? This is maybe the biggest one and the toughest one. Will you speak from your heart with love and sincerity and dependence on God? If you'll do that, trusting in him, you'll see wonderful things at work. You'll see him do powerful things. Let's pray together. And Father, this morning, we just want to thank you. We want to thank you that you do more abundantly than we could ask or think in all things. Father, that in you we have all the resources we need for life and for godliness. This morning I want to pray for the one who has said, "What could God do with me?" I pray that you, Father, would encourage that one and all of those in this place. I know that there's more than one here, and I've said it to you, Father, that you would refresh us, that you would renew our vision, that you would show us once again that it's not about us, that it's about you. It's not about the vessel, it's what you pour into it. And so we pray that you would pour into us boldness and courage and love and truth, that you would pour in us the water of your word, that we might share it with a thirsting world. We ask that you would do this by the blood of your Son, Jesus, and in Jesus' name. Amen. This song is going to be, in a way, our closing prayer. And I ask, as we prepare to sing it, that you just take a moment before the Lord. Just quietly seeking Him. Asking how He might desire to use you in the lives of those around you. Spirit of the